This evening we are excited as we celebrate Jesus' birth. This day that we celebrate was prophesied years before and has come to pass. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish. Before Jesus came to earth, it was a time of darkness. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." God promised us that he would send a light to shine on those living in darkness. Jesus is both Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Our hope is found in the birth of Jesus Christ. He came to deliver all people from their slavery to sin. When we follow Jesus, the true light, we can avoid walking blindly and falling into sin. Jesus lights the path ahead of us so that we can see how we are to live. This Christmas, allow the light of Christ to shine into your life and expel the darkness.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for she will save people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel commanded and took Mary as his wife.
Song of old, from angels bending the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, the Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to their own town to register. So, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and he was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth to peace on those on whom God favors rest." When the angels had left, then they had gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread all the word concerning of what they had been told about this child. All who heard it were amazed, all that that shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
And I'm reading the children's story tonight, Room for a Little One. You're invited to follow along and enjoy the pictures that'll be on the screen above. It was a cold winter's night. Kind Ox lay in his stable close to the side of the inn. Old Dog came by. He stopped and looked into the stable. "I need somewhere to rest," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Old Dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to Kind Ox, sharing the warmth of his stable. Stray Cat peered in. She saw Old Dog and she'd stopped. Stray Cat arched her back and her fur bristled. "I'll not chase you," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Stray Cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw close to the friends she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Small Mouse stopped at the door of the stable. She saw Stray Cat and she quivered with fear. "You're safe here. I won't harm you," said Stray Cat. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Small Mouse scurried in. She nestled down, warm in the straw, in the peace of the stable. Then Tired Donkey came. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on Tired Donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary, but there was no room at the inn. "Where will my baby be born?" Mary asked. "Come inside," Kind Ox called to Tired Donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired Donkey brought Mary into the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night. And so Jesus was born with the animals around him. Kind Ox, Old Dog, Stray Cat, Small Mouse, and Tired Donkey all welcomed him to the warmth of their stable. That cold winter's night, beneath the star's light, a little one came for the world.
Try that again. Good evening. Good evening. Merry Christmas to you. My name is Chad, and I have the privilege of serving here as the lead pastor. And on behalf of myself, the team that I get to serve with, and the entire leadership council, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we're so grateful that you are here with us tonight. I want to take just a few moments, and as I share with you tonight, I want to share with you from the story of how this carol that we often sing, Silent Night, Holy Night, came about. It's the first song, it's the first line from a poem that this young Austrian priest had written 2 years before. Now he can't get the phrase out of his head, Silent Night, Holy Night. He tells the story that tonight is Christmas Eve, similar to tonight, and St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, north of Salzburg, will be chocked full of people. Father Joseph has a homily in mind, a message for his flock on that sacred night. But he needs a carol, something special to cap off the service. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. The words just will not go away. I need a tune, he says out loud, shaking his head. I wonder if Franz can help me. I hope it's not too late. So Franz Gruber is the school teacher in the nearby village of Arnsdorf. He's a gifted musician and an organist at the Arnsdorf Church and occasional substitute organist at St. Nicholas. Franz will help me, he says to himself. He can't resist a musical challenge. So quickly now he slings on his heavy coat, he puts on his fur cap and gloves, and ventures out into the December brisk morning. The snow is crunchy underfoot as he makes his way across the courtyards towards Arnsdorf. Just a 20-minute walk. Silent night, holy night. Silent night, holy night. The rhythm of the words echoes with every step he takes. Elizabeth opens the door at his knock. Father Moore, how nice to see you. Franz will be so glad to see you. She takes his coat and ushers him in. Franz is picking something on his guitar. Franz, remember the poem that I told you about, Silent Night? I know it's too late to ask, but could you help me to put a tune to it? I would like to sing it tonight for Christmas Eve. Gruber's face lights up. A challenge, a song. He takes the lyrics from the priest and begins to say them over and over, looking for a cadence. Then he hums a line and he scratches it down. Moore soon tires of this process and begins to play with the children. But within an hour or so, Gruber seems to have a melody and is working out the chords on his guitar. Father, how does this sound? He calls and begins to sing the words. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. He stops, he makes a quick correction on his manuscript, and he continues, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Father Moore is ecstatic. On the second verse, Gruber's voice, deep voice, is joined by Moore's rich tenor. Elizabeth, baby on her hip, who has been humming along, now joins them on the last verse. The song fills their home with its gentle words and memorable melody. That night, December 24th, 1818, 200 years ago, actually today, the song fills St. Nicholas Church at midnight mass. Moore sings tenor, Gruber bass, and the church joins the refrain of each verse, while Moore accompanies on his guitar. By the time the last note dies away, the worshipers are abuzz at the wonder of the song. On Christmas Day, the song is being hummed and sung in dozens of homes around Oberndorf. Silent night, holy night. And in Oberndorf, they would sing their beloved carol again and again each Christmas. The song might have stayed there had it not been for a man named Karl Marocker, who came to repair the pipe organ in Arnsdorf in 1819, who had made several trips to Oberndorf over the next few years, finally building a new organ for St. Nicholas in 1825. Have you given much thought to this song and how it came about? It's been a song that we sing year after year. You go into the stores, you hear this song playing in the background. So many times when we sit back and reflect on Christmas Day, we have this picture-perfect image in our heads. Every nativity scene depicts an image that appears to be so peaceful and so serene. It's interesting that a lot of people will focus on different things when they look at the nativity scene. I always find it particularly interesting that we'll see the three wise men show up in the nativity scene. When you think about it and you look at scripture and place out the time frame, the wise men actually didn't show up until, or didn't find baby Jesus until he was close to 2 years old. So I'm thinking that Mary and Joseph had long left the manger by then. I read the story of a small child. This child was asked to draw out the nativity scene. And after hearing the song, Silent Night, Holy Night, so this one little boy, he drew it out and he did the likeness of Joseph, of Mary, and the baby Jesus. But off to the side was this roly-poly figure. And the teacher, thinking that maybe the boy had somehow worked Santa Claus into this nativity picture, she asked him, "Who is this?" She wasn't sure whether she was relieved or even more worried when the boy responded, "Oh, that's Round John Virgin." If we were truly truthful, we would admit that our picture of the birth of Jesus is influenced more by Christmas carols and Christmas cards than the actual account given to us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, which these two little girls just read to us a few moments ago. Matthew 1:25 says, "But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Luke 2:7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Scripture doesn't come out and say that Jesus was born on a cold winter's night. But let's take a look at this song, "Silent Night, Holy Night." When you look at the first four words of this, "Silent Night, Holy Night," and continuing on, "All is calm, all is bright," think about this for a moment. Silent night? Yeah, right. I was in the room when my two daughters were brought into this world. It's not quiet. Right? You've got all of these sounds of nurses and doctors running everywhere. Kyla wasn't screaming, but there was a lot of activity going on. And there's no way to describe the pain, and as a guy, I'm not going to attempt to do so. But now think about the birthplace of this baby. We are told that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The city was buzzing because everyone had to return to their own hometown because Quirinius had issued a decree that everyone was to be taxed. So the city is filled with people. The city was so crowded and so full that there was no room in the inn for Joseph and his wife, who is now very pregnant, Mary. They didn't have Expedia or Travelocity and able to call ahead and confirm their booking. The innkeeper, though, gave them the warmest place that he could think of, the stable. Jesus was born amongst the resident animals, probably some cows, some donkeys, maybe a few sheep or goats. So Jesus was born to the background music of moos and baas and hee-haws from the donkey. I remember the night that Kelsey was born. I had some music playing in the background, just kind of as background noise, and it was a group called Great Big Sea. And all of a sudden, my wife looked at me, and she had three words for me: "Shut that off." Animal sounds are not always the most pleasant sounds. If you've ever traveled abroad, waking up to a rooster at 3 o'clock in the morning because he thinks it's morning time is not the most pleasant time or pleasant sound. So it doesn't sound like it's much of a silent night. But then let's think about the next part. It says, "All is calm." Calm? A mother giving birth amongst the animals? With shepherds stopping by as a result? Angels coming in to sing? That doesn't sound overly calm to me. But it's interesting, though, that when the song was sung and we envisioned the night that Christ was born, we pictured this nice, quiet, and serene type of night. The song has caused us to picture a night that was very silent and calm, almost like the atmosphere here right now. As crazy as a birth can be, there is still a quietness and a stillness that comes. You're so focused on what is going on in that moment that you can't think of anything else. The difference between the night that our children were born and this night was this was God's Son coming into the world. So there would be a sense of calmness, but also a sense of holiness, because the power of God was in that little stable. It doesn't sound like a place that we would picture a king to be born. This is probably why so many people struggled to believe that he truly was the king. Can you picture Prince William and Kate going to a stable and having little George? It's not about to happen. A king should be born in a royal palace. Scripture clearly tells us that his birthplace would be humble. God's love was there with Joseph and Mary, providing a sense of calmness to them. It may not have been the most silent night, but it was indeed a holy night. It was a holy night because this little baby was born to fulfill all of the prophecies that we read about in the Old Testament. These prophecies had come 600 plus years prior. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." God promised that he would send a Savior, a Messiah, an anointed one who would deliver the people from their oppressors and who would free them from their sins. The joy that the Savior would bring was not only intended for Israel, but for all nations, every person on the earth. So God sent his Son for you and for me. On this holy night, a baby was born who was the Messiah. It was a holy night because this event was bringing all of God's plans and purposes together. This night that we celebrate would be followed by 30 years of ministry here on this earth. The plan God had was to send his Son to this earth to walk with the people, teach the people, and to be their Savior. Would they receive him or would they reject him? So is it any wonder why the angels sang the song, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, to men on whom his favor rests"? This was God coming in flesh to this world to save us. How can we deny this gift that God has given to us? When you sing this song, reflect on what God has done. You may chuckle when you sing the first part of the song, "Silent Night," but it was indeed a holy night. As the last verse of this song so beautifully proclaims, "Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth." From the time he was born, he was Lord. He has always been Lord, and he will always be Lord. Our theme this Advent season is that people would feel at home as they come here for Christmas. God wants to be the center of your home. He wants to be in your heart. The innkeeper did not have room for Mary, Joseph, and the baby. I ask the question, do you have room in your heart for the baby Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather here tonight to celebrate, knowing that you sent your Son as a baby in a manger to be the Savior of the world. God, I thank you for each person that is here in this place. I pray that the peace of Christ would continue to reign in their homes. God, I don't know what's happening inside of their homes, but you do. And Father, I pray that they would rest in knowing that you are the Prince of Peace. So God, I pray that your hand of blessing would be upon each and every one of them. I pray that tonight or tomorrow, whenever they are celebrating with their families, that their focus would be on you and know that you truly are the reason for this season. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with us as Joel leads us in the song, "Silent Night, Holy Night." Have your candles ready. We're going to begin to light them.
Silent night, holy night, all round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts, they sing Alleluia. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace,
sing verse one.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry. Thank you.
That is our wish for you folks all tonight. Have a Merry Christmas. As we go, let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that though you are great, you are high over all creation, you made yourself small. And God, we thank you that when we could not get ourselves to you by any works that we could do, God, you came down to us and you made a way for us to get to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your humility, your grace, and Lord, that you're now reigning on high, and we're looking forward to you coming again. We praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.